Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Adam, and I am most certainly an alcoholic. As a result of these steps, I've had a spiritual awakening by the grace of God and the guidance of my higher power and my sponsor as well. This was the chapter that gave me ins and outs when I was first reading this with my sponsor, because I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I came in here just trying to solve some problems, and I didn't think alcohol was one of them. I didn't think the drugs were one of them. I didn't think the way I treated people was one of them. I just assumed the world was treating me wrong, and I had to figure out how to rest it into satisfaction so I could live the way I wanted. That's not what I found. Sitting down with my sponsor, reading the doctor's opinion, I was like, all right, like, I get that. Like, that kind of makes sense. But when it came to this, I wasn't ready to admit I was an alcoholic. I really had not lost everything, we'll get into that. I mean, I could go sentence for sentence my experience with each one. But I was unwilling to admit I was a real alcoholic. I was willing to admit I had a problem and I needed to, get it figured out. I honestly thought my therapist was going to do it, but he kept telling me to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like, all right, whatever, I'll go. And I went. And, I picked up a few different times in the first couple months I was here, because I was like, I'd have one drink and be like, see, I can have one drink and I can stop. I'm not an alcoholic. And he would tell me that's a slippery slope, and I wasn't talking to anybody. I was keeping to myself. I was hiding behind a leather jacket and big boots and didn't want anyone to talk to me. And that's not really how this works for me today. But that's where I was at mentally then. I was afraid. I was scared. My ego would not allow me to open up to men. And my distrust for men, too. I grew up without a father in an alcoholic family. All my uncles are fishermen. Drinking and partying was a way of life. And I didn't see all the bad stuff. I just saw all the fun everybody was having. I saw the keg parties and everybody laughing and, grilling and having a great time. I didn't see the way it was destroying their lives behind the curtains. And that's, where it took me as well. On the outside, I looked great. On the inside, I was a complete mess. I didn't realize that it all stemmed from alcoholic thinking and that hopeless state of an alcoholic mind that I had developed at a very early age. I can't even tell you how young I was when I started drinking. It always was, I heard it a little while ago, and it didn't make any sense until I had heard it. Drinking for me was a counterfeit spiritual experience. It was a way of ease and comfort that nothing in this world gave me. Until I had gotten further into this reading, sitting in meetings after I read this with my sponsor, admitted I was powerless and that my life was unmanageable, I still didn't know what this meant. But I had stuff that I highlighted, and a lot of my early highlighting we were sharing on the way up here. Like, I highlighted in three different colors so far. The pink was all the stuff that made sense or that I liked when I first came in. The green was stuff that was like, oh, wow, that's kind of heavy. And the orange is like stuff that like is pertains to me today, all I highlighted on page 33 was think they can stop, because that's all I wanted to hear. I think I can stop. I didn't need help. I could do it on my own. We believe that in the early, in our early drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. That's all I highlighted, because that's all that mattered to me, was not admitting I was an alcoholic. Not succumbing to what thousands and thousands of men like myself today have admitted, and it's not a death sentence to me today. I'm an alcoholic. I say that anywhere and everywhere. I stopped a couple guys in the grocery store yesterday because I heard them say something that pertained to meeting and something. And I'm like, you guys friends with Bill? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm an alcoholic. Right there in the middle of the grocery store, people standing around. I don't really care. I don't hide from that today. Yeah, I got an alcoholic mind, and if I know that and I'm upfront with it, I have a chance. But I do realize now that at certain points in time, I might have been able to walk away. Like, maybe when I was like 12, before I picked up other drugs that are just a different part of my story. But the the insanity, I actually had to look up the word insanity. You know, sound and reasonable thinking is the definition of sanity. So the opposite of sanity is insanity, and I didn't have that, and I didn't like it when I looked that up. You know, my sponsor made me get a dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary. I underlined words that I didn't understand or that he would point out, do you know what that means? And I'm like, I have no clue. So I would look up the definitions, write them out. You know, I felt like I was, you know, back in elementary school looking up words. But they were important to me at the beginning because I was so foggy and so shot from the life I was living that I didn't know. I didn't read well. I didn't conversate with people well. And that was, you know, it was important for me to, like, do the simple things that were suggested to me, like highlight things and underline and look up definitions. Because I couldn't do those things, you know. And, you know, going through this chapter again and again and again and again, and hopefully again and again until the day I die, is so important to me, you know, because I can get away from thinking about my alcoholism. You know, I get busy in life. I'm expecting a daughter in like less than 2 months. I've got a 16-year-old daughter who's about to get her license. You know, I've started my own business. You know, life's busy, and that stuff makes me forget. You know, that stuff will make me put down my defense. But thankfully, you know, I do know that the spiritual defense is the most important part of my sobriety today. But coming back to this stuff is just crucial. You know, I didn't really relate to the first guy. I was like, well, I'm not old. I'm not successful in business. I don't even know what carpet slippers are. And, you know, I'm just not there. So that guy, you know, didn't relate to me. But what I've come to understand now is, like, it's not like the reading of that guy. It's what his experience was. You know, he spent years and years away from a drink or a drug. He picked it back up, and in 4 years, he was dead. And that could easily be me in Alcoholics Anonymous doing this stuff. And I know that today. I know that because I've seen guys come in here, and I've seen them die. And it scares the hell out of me. You know, the jaywalker, I kind of get him. You know, like, I didn't do a lot of stuff that mangled me. You know, I never got an OUI. I never went to a detox. I burnt relationships. I was a horrible son. I was a terrible brother. I was not a good father. You know, that's the one that chokes me up a lot. You know, I got full custody of my daughter 6 years back. Just mostly out of school district. I fought with the judge. I'm in the better school district. I showed the statistics and I got her. And I spent every penny of child support after that point on coke. Literally, that's the only thing I would spend it on. I didn't care about my daughter at that point. I cared about me. You know, and that's insane thinking if you don't, like, see where I'm coming with that. Like, I can't believe I did that. You know, that's not the man I am today, but, like, that's the man I could be tomorrow. And I have no doubt about that, you know, and that's the jaywalker. Keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And then coming into the bottom of page 38, you know, where they get to the bottom of the jaywalker, you know, that was me. You know, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. And, like, I was going to, like, that was my out. I was like, yeah, I can say I understand. Thanks for the information. I'm not an alcoholic. And, you know, in a few years when the dust settles, I can go back to living the way I want. And, you know, thankfully, my sponsor spoon-fed this stuff to me, like literally like a little baby. He spoon-fed it to me, took all the time in the world. I mean, I swear he's got the patience of a saint. You know, he spent a lot of time with me because I didn't know. I just didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I had no experience with alcoholism, besides, you know, all the active alcoholics around me. But recovery, none, no experience. So he fed this stuff to me and talked about it in depth about his experience. And that's what I related. You know, it was his experience that I was riding coattails on. Like, oh, wow, that's horrible. Wow, you are really bad. Until I cleared up enough to realize my experience and his experience paralleled each other. just in our different lives. You know, his life was his and mine was mine, but that insane thinking behind it, you know, that inability to manage staying away from a drink or a drug, like, we were both right there together. I'm like, oh, geez. And it, like, took me over almost 2 years to realize that stuff. You know, I got into the writing very early. I was 2 months without a drink or a drug, still batshit crazy, but 2 months without a drink or a drug, and I asked my sponsor to take me through this, and he didn't wait too long. Like, he was like, yeah, sure, you know, and we read and we got into it. But I still wasn't very clear. Like, this, you know, the next guy, get to the bottom of that where I highlighted on the bottom of 38 and into 39. You know, my next highlight was, but the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. And for some odd reason, I highlighted that. And I don't know why. I was like, you know, because I came back to that the next time we read it in the Orleans Men's Big Book. And I was like, why did I highlight that? Like, I think I can figure this out on my own. And to my understanding now is like, yeah, I my own thinking will not get me out of this. My thinking got me into this. But coming through the gentleman who went off and, you know, everything was fine in his life. You know, he had had some sobriety under his belt. You know, he went off to deal with his business, and just the thought came to mind, I'd like to have a highball at dinner. You know, I would have had a beer and then an eight ball. That would have been my choice. But, you know, that inability to stay away from that first thought, you know, like, I had that on my last drink. You know, I was about a month sober. Thought it was a nice gift to bring my aunt a bottle of wine that a friend of mine had made for Thanksgiving dinner. And I said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. You know, I don't need a glass. Thank you very much. You know, and I was just saying it because that's all I knew how to say. I'd come into a meeting and say, my name's Adam and I'm an alcoholic. But I didn't believe it. And I sat there and she's pouring everybody a glass. And then I just took my glass that had, you know, empty from water. And I was like, yeah, I'll try a little. You know, no thought about that at all. Just, yep, I'll have some. After telling her I'm okay. I'm an alcoholic. You know, and that's, I didn't realize that till a little later, though. Like, that's where the lack of a defense for me will get me back out there. And, you know, I know I'm capable of picking up again if I don't have that defense. You know, where that defense has come from is intensive work with another alcoholic, and writing, reading. And now I'm out there making amends, trying to right the wrongs that I've done in this world. But, you know, it was this beginning step, one in, you know, one first part of one, second part of one, and two as well, that really, like, kind of got me to be like, all right, maybe I'm an alcoholic. I don't know yet, but I'm willing to at least keep looking, because, you know, life was getting a little better without a drink or a drug. You know, I didn't have that guilt or shame that I was driving around willing to kill somebody's family, you know, whether it be purposely or intentionally. I mean, thoughts of, you know, just turning the wheel to the left, we're kind of always there. You know, like, how do I stop this insanity? I can just cut the wheel to the left a little bit, say it was an accident. You know, if I don't die, you know, maybe I'll be maimed enough that I won't have to deal with my problems. Insane thinking, by the way. You know, and, you know, so I know staying on guard for me is very important. I know working with other alcoholics, coming to meetings like this, in any meeting, really, you know, speaker meetings, open discussion, they're all important. I haven't been to one in a while that I'm not, you know, happy that I went. Whether it's something I heard or something I was able to share and help somebody else. You know, but this last page, when we get to the end of page 42, where it says we had to throw out several lifelong conceptions out, you know, we had to throw them out the window, you know, and, like, some of those conceptions to me today are, like, my ego, you know, sitting in front of all you guys, like, I could totally be, like afraid of what you think of me, and like my masculinity is now threatened and my ego, and I'm just going to get into this place where, you know, I start spiritually tearing myself apart. And you know, that's not the way I thought before. You know, it was always fear-based. You know, what's the next thing I can do to get somebody to like me? What can I say to make, you know, make everybody laugh or have some fun, or, you know, different things like that were places that my alcoholic thinking would take me. And that's just not where I am today. You know, I need divine help. The next page, you know, the highlighted part that I have is I'm 100% hopeless and I need divine help. You know, in the last sentence, in More About Alcoholism, his defense must come from a higher power. And I can't say that enough about my experience today. Like, I go through my days, sometimes good, sometimes bad. I always need God with me. I mean, I have to take him everywhere. You know, self-pity, I still suffer from that frequently. And, you know, and it's usually a fear-based thing. You know, turning to God and saying, you know, thy will be done, not mine. You know, it doesn't always click in right away, but at some point later on, when I'm thinking about what I can do for you guys, what I can do for people out of these rooms, what I can do for my family, my daughter, my girlfriend, my unborn child, like, these are the things that that take me away from my alcoholic thinking and give me purpose, give me drive, give me a sense of hope, you know. And that's usually based on thinking about God first and his will for me. And I was always afraid to say that stuff. I'm not afraid to say that today. You know, that's where I'm at today. Like, I depend on God 100% because I'm 100% a hopeless alcoholic. And I learned that from reading this. So thank you very much, guys.
Completed the fifth step out of the big book of alcohol.